Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Steve Bannon is a nationalist, iconic, economic nationalist. What does that even
an
mean?
Economic nationalist.
What does the hell it even mean? Oh, I'll tell you what it means. He said to the Hollywood Reporter, because this is the guy that's going to be like at the ear of the president, who's been accused of being a white nationalist and hating Jews and hating Muslims and hating everybody. He says, I'm not a white nationalist. I'm a nationalist. I'm an economic nationalist. Meaning the globalists gutted the American working class and created a middle class in Asia. The issue now is about America not looking to bleep over. I have no problems with not bleeping America over. I don't. Today, you know, Trump is claiming victory in the reversal of Ford to leave. But apparently that was done last year, the thought process. They were exploring. And the eldest Ford that is running the company now said they had been exploring. It was never determined that they were leaving, but it was a thought process that they were going about. But they've decided to keep their small car manufacturing here and in hopes that Trump will. And it's funny because the United Auto Workers are worried about Trump in a lot of ways. But they also like the fact that Trump is willing to renegotiate NAFTA and some of these things that they think has really hurt them. So they're in that catch 22. And we'll see what happens there. But it is kind of funny. So he's not a white nationalist. He's an economic nationalist.
Is that a green nationalist?
That is green dollar bills, yo, what I mean? Yo, what I mean? Very interesting. This whole thing with Steve Bannon, you don't know who he is, people. And I'm not going to get into the details because, quite frankly, it's all boring. You can listen to a bunch of other shows that will, you know, talk about these people that none of you care about whatsoever. He's just a guy that has gotten very close to the president. They ran a very controversial, very right-wing leaning website called Breitbart, and he is a guy that has said many controversial things over and over again. He is not an insider. That's the one thing you could say. I mean, of all the things you've seen, Trump, you know, and the people that Trump has appointed, he is not an insider as far as inside of the beltway kind of thing. But he is definitely somebody that brings with him a lot of political baggage, meaning he has said a lot of things. He worked for a website that at many times was very inflammatory and very harsh in a lot of ways. So we'll see what happens. I can't believe he it is amazing to think. I mean, just the fact that Trump is president shows that anything in the world can happen, but also shows you how pissed off America was, right? Like, we're angry. I'm so angry. Crazy. It really is. I don't know. We'll see. It's just you know, you got this Jared Kushner guy, the son-in-law of the president, and you've got Steve Bannon, and these two people are they're going to have the year of the president, and I don't know what that means, and there's going to be battles amongst those two, I think, across the board. So it's going to be interesting to watch how it happens. It is amazing, though. This is the world we live in now. This is it. Producer Phil, do numbers lie?
I've always heard that numbers do not lie.
Are they racist, Producer Phil?
I have never seen a number to be racist.
Are you sure there is no such thing as a racist number?
You're going to drop some knowledge on me, aren't you?
I'm going to drop some knowledge on you guys. There is a thing that 20 of the 50th largest police departments are doing. And they're doing something that baseball's doing. They're doing something that football's starting to do. They're doing something that hockey's doing in pretty much every sport and that many other businesses and things are doing, which is they're using algorithms and analytics to try to forecast certain things. Meaning they're trying to go Minority Report. And we're not talking about minorities. I'm just talking about, if you've never seen the movie, there's a movie called Minority Report starring this guy called Tom Cruise where they would actually get to a crime, 10, 15, 20 seconds before it happened, in hopes of preventing the crime. But is it racist? That's what some people are saying. How can you do stuff like this? It's a racist thing. You're trying to predict crime. There's a predictor of crime here, and it's got to be racist. But the truth is, you're going off analytics. And more and more, and more and more, and more and more, and more and more, police forces are going to start to use this. Several reasons. One of them is if you're more efficient, you don't spend as much money. That's huge, right? Because we are, you know, especially in the government, we like to make sure that we spend the right amount of money or overspend whenever we possibly can. So being efficient is extremely, extremely important. But a lot of people are starting to argue that, look, the effectiveness is debated, the potential impact on poor minority communities and the implications for civil liberties. I understand that. I get that. I think the government overreaches on a daily basis. I think the government's always up in our business. I would like less of that and more of doing stuff that matters. But we also have to understand, you don't get anywhere in the world going soft on crime. You don't. You don't get anywhere in the world going soft on crime. Nobody says, hey, you know what? We should be really soft on crime. Punishment, we can look at in a much different way. Right? But this isn't about punishment. But analytics has become a huge thing. I mean, you know, you got 538, right, which was Nate Silver's thing, and he has, you know, got some egg on his face. But by and large, though, I mean, Boston Red Sox, they won because of analytics. The Chicago Cubs, their payroll's not very big, and they won because, yes, they got a great team, but they won because you got a guy there, Theo Epstein, who's used analytics to the, you know, perfect. You look across the board. We talked about it this week with online shopping. You guys remember talking about that? How it's analytics, it's algorithms, it's certain things. What they're trying to do is predetermine. But it's numbers. When you say there's a 10% or 20% chance of rain, and we're going on, you know, we're going on maybe a forecast of what we could potentially see, but also what's happened in the last 10 years on this day, and we look at those things and we put it all together, it's analytics. We're not saying, hey, rain's racist. Hey, the weatherman's totally racist. We're not. It's numbers. It's numbers. And there's common sense in there as well. I mean, if a community is crime-ridden, you need to put more police there. Right? I mean, that should be a no-brainer. But then if you say, oh, you do that, well, you're over-policing. Well, you can't have it one way or another. Do you want us here to try to do something and to prevent stuff? Or do you want us here just as, you know, just to come in and to mop up, to take a report? It's analytics. But people find a way to work race into everything they possibly can because it's an easy way of doing it. Some police departments have hailed, it's called PredPol and other systems, as an instrument in reducing crime, focusing on scarce resources of trouble spots and individuals, replacing officer hunches with potential biases with hard data. So you're getting rid of the hunch. And here's the other thing, too. When you start to take away some of the human factor, you start to take away some of the bias. That's a good thing, right? Because you want to take away some of the bias because cops are all racist. All cops are racist. They're all racist. Yeah, they're all racist. So you take away some of these things. And you have data. And numbers don't lie unless they're fudged. Right? Unless they're screwed with. But otherwise, numbers don't lie. And it's data. So when I'm looking at data, I'm not seeing black or white. I'm not seeing brown or white. I'm not seeing Asian, black, purple, green, orange. I am seeing numbers. And if numbers say, at this time, at this area, there's a potential for X, Y, and Z because this has happened on numerous occasions, and we're able to put those things together using the analytics, the algorithms, things like that. Why shouldn't we take advantage of it? The DNA thing. Like, you know, I was watching last night, I think it was a show called Vice. It's great. It's on HBO. And the DNA swabs, like whatever reason they take you to jail, they want to swab you. They want your DNA for some sort of database or something. You don't need my DNA for that. I'm sorry. You don't. You don't need anybody's DNA unless you can go get a warrant to get my DNA. You can go get a warrant to get Phil's DNA. Right? Unless you were brought in on specific charges. That to me is overreach. This to me is data. This to me is we are taking all of the data we use. And in doing so, we're going to get rid of some of the bias. We're going to get rid of some of the hunches. We're going to get rid of some of these things because what we're doing is we're putting ourselves in a situation where the numbers are telling us, hey, these kind of things happen around this kind of time in this neighborhood. Well, that's unfair to minority communities. Well, there's a lot of crime going on there. Well, then shouldn't we be policing it more? Again, what do you want? Do you want Monday morning quarterback or do you want somebody there before? That's the question. But I love how people work in this. And by the way, these are the same algorithms and analytics that Amazon uses, that many of the other big retailers across the country use. It's just shifted in a way that works for crime. It's about numbers. Isn't that what we want? We want more efficiency from our police officers, less bias, the opportunity to use it. But even at that point in time, it doesn't matter because somebody is going to come in and scream racism. Somebody's going to come in and yell, this is wrong. Somebody's going to come in and say, you have no idea what you're doing is completely racial profiling. You can't win. You can't win. If you don't do something, people bitch, scream, and moan. If you do do something, people bitch, scream, and moan. And you wonder why police, law enforcement gets frustrated. You wonder why. Speaking of frustration, I know you can get frustrated out there, especially if you have a small business and you're like, I can't find a good employee. You got a big business, you're like, I need 20 great employees. You got a huge business, you're like, I need 1 billion great employees. But we just don't, you know, I don't have time to go out and post to 1,000 different sites. Let me tell you something, kids. Posting your job to find that quality candidate to one site isn't enough. You want to find the perfect hire. You need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can with ZipRecruiter.com. You can post your job to 100-plus sites, including the likes of Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. You can find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface, which is very important. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter is being used by over 1 million businesses. And right now, right this second, the Chad Benson Show listeners, you have a chance to use this for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/report. That's all you have to do. You can post your job for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/report. One more time, go to ZipRecruiter.com/report and post your job for free. Every day at this hour, we do this thing called So What's Next? Today, we focus on those people out there who feel that Donald is coming for them. Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Every day at this time, we do a thing called, So What's Next? We break down what's next for something. So what's next for all of those people in these diverse groups that are terrified for the likes of Donald Trump to be president and the likes of Jeff Sessions and all of these other people that are going to be on his administration and part of it and on his, you know, just on the Trump train in general. So what's next for Muslims in America? There's no registry coming. It's not going to happen. First and foremost, because good Americans who maybe even voted for Donald, and there's a lot of them out there, they won't allow that to happen. Donald won't allow that to happen. But they may want a registry for people who come here from... There's a... Right now, you have to be registered when they take you in illegally into this country. Do you know that? Yeah. They want to know what's going on because you know what they're going to do? They're going to turn around and let you out the back door, and you're supposed to show up for a hearing. So no, that's not going to happen. It's not. So what's next for the LGBT community, which is also a community that's absolutely terrified and worried and understandable? Donald doesn't want any part of it. And by that, I mean, Donald doesn't care. There are fights that he wants to fight and there are fights he wants to win. And this isn't one of them. Who somebody loves, what they do with somebody and who somebody marries, first and foremost, Donald could care less. And I will scream the loudest if that's not true. Mike Pence, on the other hand, he's the one you should worry about, not Donald Trump. But Mike Pence has also faced the wrath of what takes place in situations like this. Mike Pence has also felt what it's like to have many corporations and companies say, we're going to bounce. We're not bringing our business to you anymore. We're going to take our business and leave. Money is a huge influencer. So what's next for the LGBT community? I understand your fears. I understand your worries. I understand a lot of those things. But don't overthink it. And don't lose sleep over it. So what's next for a lot of groups out there who are terrified? The dreamers of the world. People that are here illegally. We've talked about immigration, but what about the people here like the dreamers? Donald's probably going to give you a pass. He's even starting to soften himself on that. A lot of groups out there are worried. And as I have always said, we let fear start to ramp up in our minds. And by the time an outcome happens, it's either A, rarely as bad as we think, or B, it turns out to be an okay thing. So what's next for a lot of groups out there, from Muslim Americans to people here illegally and dreamers to people in the LGBT community? Take a deep breath. Take a weekend off of worry and realize that there are bigger fish to fry and that Donald's not interested in tearing people apart as everybody makes him out to be. Donald's not interested in making sure you can't fall in love with the person you fall in love with. Donald's not interested in any of those things. Donald's interested in fixing our economy. He's interested in fixing immigration. And he's interested in actually combating ISIS and terrorism. That's what's next for that. What's next for you? Live your life. That's what's next. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. A lot of movies coming out this weekend. We're heading into that holiday season. Scott Cardi joins us next to talk about lots of them. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
It is Friday. Fridays are movies days. We love movies. Escaping from the madness. This is the reality. Scott Cardi, our movie superstar, joins us now. Scott, first of all, last weekend, how was your voiceover stuff with Randy?
You know, we had a good time. We ended up taping the Scott Cardi party there. And as you know, by being one of those voiceover artists, a voice actor, anytime you get a large group of people like that together, it's a little bit like herding cats. So we had a good time.
It is like herding cats. And they're not used to dressing up and going outdoors. So I'm sure it was a very interesting situation. You know, it's starting to heat up again. We had that lull for about 6 weeks where movies seemed to be kind of just fading away. And now we've got tons of movies. And this weekend is the first time, I will say this, there are four movies coming out, and all of them I would love to see. And at some point in time, I'll get to. Let's start with the first one, The Edge of 17. And it looks interesting, great. Woody Harrelson's great. And I love the girl that's in this movie. I've seen her in a couple things. I think she's on her way to being a star.
Absolutely. Hailee Steinfeld is a star. I mean, she's a star as a pop singer as well, but she's also a tremendously good actress. Edge of 17, she plays the role of Nadine, which is a high school student who's going through all the awkwardness of high school. I mean, everything from acne to their appearance to dating and, you know, sex and trying to be smart and successful, all those things. And she's really struggling. And Hailee Steinfeld is one of those people that you just know is kind of like, all right, she's grounded. She gets it. And she's perfect for the role because she's able to navigate that. In the process, she finds that she has kind of this unlikely mentor in her history teacher, who's played by Woody Harrelson. So it's The Edge of 17 It's very edgy, which is why it's rated R, because of some of the content. But I think it's honestly it's honest content. It's what a lot of kids struggle with. And, you know, everything from she walks into Woody Harrelson and says, you know, I'm going to commit suicide. And he goes, well, funny enough, I was actually writing my own note, you know. But it's neat to see that relationship between a teacher and a student. But just a lot of fun. There's a lot of great buzz about it.
It really does look funny, and because it deals with stuff that kids right now are going through, things like she sends a text that is just, she doesn't want to send, it's to a boy she likes, and it's completely sexualized, and she sends it, and it's dealing with things that kids are going through now that we used to do with maybe notes or, you know, hearsay from a friend, you tell somebody this, that, and the other. It looks great, and Woody Harrelson looks like he's hilarious.
Yeah, I actually talked with her about that, with the influence of social media and texting. And, you know, how that's just such a completely different game for kids right now. And she, you know, talked about it. Obviously, she's had a little bit of a different upbringing going through high school, you know, being an actor and being involved in Hollywood. But she still really gets it. And she was pretty excited with being able to include that, but not having it be overbearing and saying, well, that's just because of social media. And that's why kids are having it so tough, you know.
Fantastic. I can't wait to see that one. Looks funny. We move from there, as we talk to Scott Carty, our movie guy, on this Friday, to a movie that is based on reality, a movie that's based on a story that is true life, kind of Rocky, rise to the top, and then something tragic happens, but yet rise again like a phoenix from the ashes, based on the true story of Vinny Panzienda, the Pasmanian devil, they called him. It's called Bleed for This.
And this stars Miles Teller, who I have been a big fan of. You know, we saw him in Whiplash. We've seen him in, you know, all the different Insurgent and Divergent movies. I think he's a really talented actor, and to see him in this role was great because he does play this real-life boxer who got involved in a very tragic car accident. He broke his neck. He was told he would never return to the boxing ring. And so Miles gets to portray this journey of a guy who's not going to take no for an answer, and he works his way back on a little weight set down in a basement with his trainer, who's played by Aaron Eckhart, who you will not recognize in the film, trust me. But really some brilliant performances in this. It's a great story. I think having it as a real story also really helps me. I'm not a guy who has been all gung-ho on Rocky in terms of the story. I like the action and those sorts of things. But in this one, you kind of get it all. You get boxing, you get inspiration, and you also get some history there too.
For those of you who don't know the story, the Pasmanian Devil was this amazing boxer who was – he was as much a fighter, meaning he would stand there and brawl with you. He was showman. He was great. But when he got in this accident, they told him, look, you're never going to fight again. And if you do, we're not talking about you just being paralyzed. We're talking about death because your neck can't handle it. And he really made a comeback. And the movie itself looks it looks very interesting. And Miles Teller, again, he's one of those guys where I'm waiting for him to have that role where he becomes a major motion picture star because he is talented. And it just seems that he picks these roles that are interesting and he does great. And then he gets stuff like Fantastic Four and it flops. And I think it hurts him a bit.
I agree. I totally agree. In fact, I probably went into Bleed for This with a little too high of an expectation because I was looking at that and thinking, all right, this is finally going to be Miles' shot. This is going to be the one that gets him the recognition. We saw a little bit of that with Whiplash when he was opposite J.K. Simmons. Now he's in this role. I think he may still have a shot to get some recognition, but man, he's facing a really tough field this year.
It's going to be interesting to see. First of all, as you talk about the tough field this year, this movie to me, I've seen several trailers. I know the backstory. I find this to be the most interesting movie this year. And based on what just took place this past Tuesday before last and what's been going on through the campaigns and people freaking out about stuff, as we talked to Scott Carty, a movie guy, the movie Loving looks like this should be beyond Oscar worthy for a lot of different reasons, but it's also a timely kind of subject. And sometimes it's not even about how great the acting is. It is how timely is the subject when it's Oscar time.
Chad, I think you know that I feel privileged to sit down with every celebrity I ever get to interview for every movie I get to be a part of. But there are some movies that come along that you're just truly honored to be able to do interviews for. And that's the case with Loving, because I got to sit down with writer and director Jeff Nichols. He wrote the screenplay for this, and this is all based off of Loving versus Virginia, which is the couple, an interracial couple, Richard and Mildred Loving, got married in 1958. The state of Virginia put them in jail, and then that led to a court case that made its way to the Supreme Court. And by 1967, they finally were able to overturn the case and make interracial marriage legal, changing the Constitution of the United States, essentially. And Joel Edgerton plays Richard Loving. Ruth Negga plays Mildred Loving. The Lovings were incredibly simple people, and they weren't all that interested in making a big stink, even though they had such injustice served to them. And so to have this really only 50 years ago, put that into context and think about, and then to see what we saw recently during the campaign and the election, this story is incredibly important. Both of the actors in that, in their lead roles, show tremendous restraint in their performances, which I think is one of the toughest things for an actor to do, is to hold back and to not get fired up and transfer that anger and frustration for, you know, how crazy this concept is that two people couldn't get married, you know? But it's a beautiful film, and the story is so solid, and the performances are just incredible. You will definitely be seeing nominations tied to Loving.
I can't wait to see that one as we talk to Scott Cartier, our movie guy. And finally, the movie that should, they're saying top $92+ million is what people are saying this weekend. A precursor, a prequel, for those of you who can't get enough of Harry Potter, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them hits the big screen this weekend, and it should be a massive moneymaker.
It's so good, too. I really enjoyed it. I was never a big Harry Potter fan, to be honest with you. And I think one of the things that I like about Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them is that you have an adult cast. It's not just a bunch of kids in a school. It takes place decades before Harry Potter. It's in early 1920s in New York City. Eddie Redmayne plays Newt Scamander, who has these creatures, and he stops in New York, which he thinks is going to be a brief visit, but he gets pulled into a mystery there. Catherine Waterston is also in it, and Colin Farrell. And, you know, it's a fun movie to see. It's got great twists, and it has these creatures, which they're so much fun for the kids. The kids in the theater, when I did the screening, were just laughing, but there's so much there that for the adults. So I think it's going to be a home run for J.K. Rowling. And one thing, though, Chad, is that what a lot of people may not realize is this movie is actually J.K. Rowling's screenwriting debut. All of the other stuff was written by other screenwriters based on her books. This one she actually wrote for film.
Well, that's crazy, because you would think about that she would have had a hand in some way, shape, or form in shaping some of the other stuff. But book writing and screenwriting are a whole separate art form.
Right. She was certainly involved, but this is where she's like, no, this is what, you know, I'm going to put the pen to paper on this one. And I mean, she's fascinating on her own. But this movie, just a ton of fun. I really, really enjoyed it.
So as we talk to Scott Cartier here, we wrap up our movie segment this week. Do we see Edge of 17? We give a thumbs up?
Yeah, I give actually every single one of these movies a thumbs up.
Fantastic, man. You can't go wrong there. I tell you what, Scott, this was a motoring through easy week of great four movies. What do we have coming out next week as we head into the holiday weekend?
Next week, there are two movies I really want you to keep your eye open for. But before that, the one family movie for next week is going to be Moana. It's from Disney. And I got to see that. It's the story of Moana, who she heads out to sea in an effort to help save her people. You've got Dwayne The Rock Johnson in it, and music by Lin-Manuel Miranda, who did Hamilton, as we all know. But the two movies that really excite me, number one is Nocturnal Animals, and that is from writer, director, and fashion icon Tom Ford, with Jake Gyllenhaal and Amy Adams. Really, Michael Shannon's in it as well. It's an incredible story, and it will mess with your mind. It's beautiful, as you'd expect from Tom Ford, but it also has a lot of substance to it. The other one is Rules Don't Apply, and this is from Warren Beatty. He wrote, directed, and stars in it as Howard Hughes and all of his eccentricities. And it revolves around the story of two young employees of Howard Hughes who become romantically interested, which breaks Howard Hughes's number one rule of no dating. And so you've got a little bit of everything in that. You've got old Hollywood history. You've got eccentricity. You've got romance. You've got a sexual revolution, feminism, everything in it. And it's beautifully done. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, man, it looks fantastic. I can't wait to see that. That's another one of those movies I look forward to seeing. His name is Scott Cartier. You can check him out on Twitter, at Scott Carty, C-A-R-T-Y. As always, my friend, we appreciate you coming on. You have yourself a wonderful weekend. And if we don't talk to you next week, have a great holiday, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Chad.
The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Little say what next on the Chad Benson Show.
Your mama. That's right. I said your mama.
You're listening to the Chad Benson Show.
Your mama. Say what? Mama. Say what? Say what? That's right. I said your mama.
I love this. I love the say what version of what we do. So this is great. So Phil's got a say what story, and I have a say what story. Very similar. In fact, we should put these two together because I think it would work. First, Phil, your say what story comes from where? Montana?
Wyoming.
Wyoming. Solid, solid Wyoming. And what happens in Wyoming with this youngster that was looking for love and looking to pay for it?
Breaking news! A Wyoming man was arranged to pay a prostitute with a McDonald's quarter pounder and french fries, was arrested when he showed up for the illicit encounter, food in hand, only to discover that he had been snared in a police sting.
That is the worst thing that can happen when you get caught with a Big Mac trying to get a Big Mac on. Trying to pay for it. Now, you're thinking to yourself, who would do that? Well, I have got somebody for her. The Beaver Police Department, oddly enough, contacted Crystal Holtz, 36, after spotting on Backpage.com an ad offering paid companionship. By the way, this right here, Phil, may be the greatest thing. If she came up with her, kudos for this. She is, by the way, 5'8", goes about 270. She frequently advertises her escort service online, describing herself as a BBW goddess. If you don't know what that is, that's big, beautiful woman. And she says she's thicker than Snickers. Oh, now, if you want to get with her, there's a few ways you could do it. Does she have a layaway plan?
She got a lot of way plan.
She does. Her hourly rate is $1.60, but there's some negotiation there. She has also altered her demands to agreed price of $50 in nachos.
Man, that's not a negotiation. That's a deal.
It's a deal because she is thicker than Snickers.
$1.60 and $50 in nachos? I mean, that's $55.
She ain't seen $1.60 in forever. I'll pay her $1.60. Stay away from me. Oh, my gosh. Last night, Kanye excited the crowd, and anger as well was screamed out everywhere. Yeezy cut loose at the San Jose stop of his St. Pablo tour on Thursday, revealing he had gone against his wife's endorsements of Hillary Clinton and picked the president-elect if he'd voted even at all.
See, he didn't vote.
Yeah.
And he's one of those people, like 8 years ago, the vote or die or get out the vote thing. Yeah. He was all over that.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he did, but he did say, I told you I didn't vote, but if I would have voted, I would have voted on Trump. He said, we need to stop talking about racism and told people to raise your hand if you voted for Trump. I have news for you. Even if you voted for Trump and your ass raised your hand in that crowd last night, you'd been done for. You know, she's thicker than Snickers.
I just saw the picture.
Yeah, what do you think of her? Delicious. That should be her name. I'm delicious. I'm delicious. Oh, goodness.
That's me. A man, baby.
That is a man, absolutely. She's a man, baby. He said he's still running for president in 2020. He wants to focus on a lot of stuff, particularly less racism and more education. I can get behind that. I get behind that, Yeezy. And speaking of his wife and his family, they have topped the list of the highest earning reality stars in 2016. Let's take it from, first of all, let's go with Kylie Jenner. What do you think Kylie made last year? She's 19, by the way, so feel bad about yourself.
All right, I'm gonna be low because, and I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to say $10 million.
She made $18 million. Kendall Jenner made $17 million. She's the top. She's got a big deal with the new face of Estee Lauder. It's
So she's doing well for herself as well. Now, let's see here. Mama Jenner. What do you think Mama Jenner made?
It has to be less than $18
million. 11.5. Chloe, she's 32. She comes in fourth place. She's got a denim line called Good American Jeans, a book. Is it a pop-up book? Probably crayon. Probably written in crayon. She made $15 million. Courtney, she came in sixth place with $10 million. But number one on the list was Kim Kardashian. She's 36 years old, and between June 2015 and June 2016, she earned a whopping $51 million, of which 40%, to be exact, comes from her addicting mobile game called See My Butt. No, it's Kim Kardashian's Hollywood.
I'm in the wrong business.
We are in the wrong business. We are. If only Ray J would film me. Or, because I'm thicker than Snickers.
I'm getting myself a camera tonight, and I'm getting a mobile game.
The Chad Benson Show. Your Facebook at Chad. Oh, my God. He's back, Phil.
Hey, guys. It's me, Mickey Mouse. You guys ever been to listen to this? Hi, everybody. It's me, Mickey Mouse. And today's my birthday. I'm going to go to the... She's thicker than Snickers. Oh, my. I got some nachos for you at Lizzie's. I got to have a... Oh, my God.
The Chet Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.